Family, what's going on? We are like 1 week away from the Flavor Fest Leadership Conference, the big main one that's in sunny Tampa, Florida, November the 2nd through the 4th. So hopefully you guys are watching this before that. And so maybe you still have a chance to tap in. And here's the good news. Even if you can't come to Flavor Fest like in person, we are going to have a virtual option available. It's on the website, flavorfest.org. So you could still tap into all the general sessions, the workshops that happen in the auditorium, not all the ones in all the other rooms, just the auditorium one, and the concerts. And so you're still going to be able to tap into like the majority of everything that's going on, minus the food and the fellowship and the mural festival. And there's some stuff you won't be able to, but still, you're going to be able to get some great essence, and you can tap in and watch the virtual conference and plug into it or watch parts of it or watch it later on the replay. And so it is going to be a fire weekend. If you don't know the details, go to flavorfest.org. We have so many exciting things that are happening next weekend. We're starting it off on Thursday night, and we have Tony Gaskins is going to be our speaker. Remix Worship from Crossover Church is going to be doing worship as well. It is going to be a night you don't want to miss. There's going to be an urban fashion show. There's going to be a surprise guest artist. I'm not even going to tell you. And then on Friday and Saturday, of course, we have amazing general sessions and workshops that are happening during the day. We have 7 workshop tracks that are taking place all around the building. We got some incredible speakers. We're doing a 7-on-7, 7 speakers speaking for 7 minutes. That's on Friday. Saturday morning, we're doing a panel to celebrate 50 years of hip-hop. And so my guy Christopher Play Martin from Kid and Play is going to be on the panel with me. We got my guy KJ52 is going to be on the panel. Miles Minnick is going to be on the panel. We got like 3 generations of hip-hop is going to be on the panel. So we're doing an outreach Saturday afternoon. We have a mural festival that's happening the entire weekend on the west side of our building. There's about 9 mural artists that are flying in from around the world, some of the best out there, led by my guy Cam One. Cam Warner from San Francisco. It is going to be fire. The art, the breakdancing battle, the beat battle, the 16-bar challenge from Rapzilla. Track Stars is doing the beat battle. Man, there's so many incredible elements, so many incredible artists that are going to be there and speakers. And we got Social Club. We got Miles Minnick. We got Gabbana is coming. We got Dayton and the Menace Movement, KJ52, so many others. Go to the website and check it out. There's like 30-plus artists, flavorfest.org. Well, today, guys, we have a very, very special guest. It's my favorite person in the world, for real. It's my favorite. My best friend's going to be on with me today. So don't go nowhere. Tap in. And by the way, hey, if you're not subscribed to the channel, subscribe. Go ahead and like this video. Push it up on the algorithm a little bit. And here we go. Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna. Here we are, guys. I am here with my bestest friend, my bestie. If you don't know, this is my wife, Lucy.
Hey, everyone.
Colonin. She is my wife, so she's a pastor's wife. She's an artist's wife. That's a unique, that takes extra yes. love. She's a mom. She is a leader. She is a life coach. She is a lot of amazing things.
Thank you. So I appreciate that.
It's good to have you here.
Good to be here.
This is your first podcast with me.
Right, and I wanted to know why did it take you so long to invite me?
I don't know. I just, you were on the list.
Okay.
You were on the list.
Made the list.
It's a long list, and it was just the right time. This is God's timing, one yes. week before Flavor Fest 2023, the first year that we did a tour leading up to the main conference, and you're running the women's ministry track.
I am. I'm so excited about that. We're doing something different this year as well, where On Saturday, it's a workshop panel and also lunch together. So we're going to stay in the room together. We're actually going to be in the gym. And then we have some guests.
But y'all are calling it a brunch, aren't you?
Yeah, we're calling it a brunch.
Because it just sounds more bougie, it does.
It just sounds better. And I'm excited because I got a chocolate fountain just for the ladies.
Oh, can I sneak in and just get
just
a little dip?
Just for the ladies. Okay. Just for the ladies.
All right. So, and who's some of the workshop speakers and the panelists?
Yeah, so I have Sandra Coates. She's coming. I have Pastor Annette Vasquez. She's from New York. And then Christina Bridgewater.
Oh, cool. Cool. So, ladies, you definitely want to tap in. They had an amazing brunch, lunch last year. They were at the Jerk Hut, but it got too packed over there. So there's going to be much more room for them to have it in the gym at Crossover. So there's still time for you to register. Even if you want to just do a one-day pass, you can do that. That's just for Saturday.
Right, just for Saturday. And I want to say this. Like, I have a soft spot when it comes to women that are in leadership, women in ministry, because I know how lonely it can be, and I also know the challenges that you face. And so we pray over this, and we design this specifically for women who are in leadership roles.
Yeah. So I know some of the people that are watching or listening to the podcast, since this is your first time on here,
right.
They might not know, they might know your Pastor Tommy's wife, Urban D's wife, but tell them a little bit about like where you were from, just a little bit of your story, your journey to faith and to leadership.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm a New Yorican.
That means
that I was born and raised in New York. My parents are from Puerto Rico, and I lived there till I was 19. I moved here when I came to college. We went to Southeastern College. That's where I met Tommy. And I think my faith journey just kind of begins as a kid. My aunt used to take us to church. My very first church was Love Gospel in the Bronx. So that was my first church. You know, and then you get a little bit older and you kind of stray away and church isn't as cool or as much fun anymore. But I had a turning point when I was 17. It was my senior year in high school because I was failing, right? And that's not like me. Mm. And, you know, really, my parents were really disappointed in me and my grades. And I was cutting class and just like, you know, when you feel like you have no purpose and what's the point of life? And so that's kind of where I was at, just kind of rebellious, didn't want to do anything. But when I found out that, hey, I'm failing, I was like, oh, no, I'm not staying back. I want to get out of here. So for me, that was my turning point academically and also spiritually, because I realized I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to get stuck. I'm seeing how my other friends are turning out, and I didn't want that for myself. I've always believed in God and always believed that his hand was upon my life. So then I decided to go to Southeastern College. And
I'm glad you did.
Yes, that's right. So moved here, didn't expect to stay here. We both, especially I met him my junior year, and I had no intention of staying in Florida. I always thought I was going to go back to New York. But anyways, that's a long story. This is, you know, this is our history. We met my junior year. We got married after 3.5 years of dating.
It was long, long dating. Good things come to those who wait.
Yes, we took our time. We wanted to finish school, and we wanted to make sure that we were in God's will.
Yeah. And we were young. We were super young, so we weren't like in a super rush. There was other people that were still in school, some of our friends that decided to like get married during the summer, and then they came back to school, and it was just a little weird, and it was kind of hard to launch as a marriage and a new family when you're still like in school, still hanging out with all your friends that they're all still like not married, living in the dorms on campus. So it was like we didn't really want that. We're like, we could be patient, we could wait, we're still young. So people that are out there that are young, you don't always have to rush it.
Right.
You know, don't rush a good thing. At the same time, like those that might be a little older, you don't have to wait 3 years. Like if you're like 35 or 45 or something like that. Like, but we were like early 20s at the time. And so we're just like, all right, we got our whole lives ahead of us.
And I was still finding myself. Like I was still trying to figure out like not only who God is, like, as a person, like, who is he, but who am I? Like, what's my mm-hmm. purpose in life? So for me, it was important to have a good foundation. Like, I came specifically to Southeastern, not just for the biblical education component, but I think I was looking for God and for myself, who, you know, who I was.
Yeah, so then we graduated, we got married, we moved to Tampa. God didn't open up the door up north. And we came to Tampa, and I launched the youth ministry with you by my side. I was working at the church, not always getting paid, but my music was filling in the gaps. But you were the one that had the stable, solid job. So that first, like, 7 years that we were here at the church, you were working somewhere else.
Right.
And so talk a little bit to people out there that might, you know, their spouse is in ministry full-time, but they're not. They're, like, in, you know, in the marketplace, and sometimes that can have its challenges. And talk about that season a little bit and how you navigated that, and then just how there was that surprise. You weren't even planning to come work at the church, right. But yeah.
Yeah, I was very career-driven. Like, I got my bachelor's degree, then I got my master's in counseling. I stopped there because I was like, I'm done with school. But, like,
Dr. Lucy.
No, I was just like, I can't do it. My brain was fried by then. But I was very career driven, and so I wanted to be a therapist. I wasn't sure if I was going to have my own practice one day, but I knew that I was in my right lane, right? I was counseling, actually, at-risk youth, at-risk teenage mm-hmm. girls. I loved it. I was in several different roles. I was a juvenile probation officer at one point, case manager, manager of a girls' center. So just a lot of different roles in that time period. So very career driven. I was making good money. I was so, you know, excited. So that's where my mindset was, like, what more can I do here in this field? And I'd say, like, the latter part of those years is when I started to feel kind of like a nudge. And I was like, no, no, because I knew what that meant. I saw you and I saw what you were doing. And even though there was a part of me that wished I could be doing what you were doing, at the same time, I'm like, it's a huge commitment and it's a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I was the breadwinner in that season. And so I just thought, this isn't going to work. We both can't be in ministry, you know, at the same time. So for me, it was more denial is what I was dealing with. And as much as the thought was nice, like, being in ministry together, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm in my lane, you know, right now. And it took some nudging, and I don't know if you remember, but it took someone who you were having a meeting with, and he said that he wanted me to meet with you guys as well. It was somebody from the American Bible Society.
Mm.
And we had this meeting, and I was just like, why? Why do I
need was that? Was that Tom?
I think so.
Tom Tragesser, shout out to him.
Yes. So I was just like, why? Little did he know that the night before, I was actually online just looking for opportunities when it comes to, you know, job opportunities. So he called us both in, and he was just talking life to both of us and just saying that our ministry is growing because of us together, because we were working together, we had a great marriage, and he was just saying all this, and I thought to myself, wow, like, I think this is it. I think this is what God is calling me, you know, to do. So it was a huge step of faith.
Mm. So you transitioned from, as I did, I was youth pastor, then became pastor, lead pastor. I wasn't ready to be called senior pastor. I'm still not. I'm lead pastor. I'm still young, trying to be young. Anyways, so, but you became, like, from now you're the pastor's wife,
mm-hmm.
or some people would say the first lady.
Right.
So definitely. Talk about that transition of roles as well.
I think what I remember, first of all, is it was hard, right? Because I went from, again, here's pride talking, you know, career. I had my title. Then I get to go into ministry, and we're working side by side, and now I'm Pastor Tommy's wife, right? It's not Lucy. It's Pastor Tommy's wife. And so for a while there, like, it bothered me because I'm like, I have a name too. Like, this is my name. But a lot of that was because I still wasn't secure in my identity and in what my role was at the church. I was still trying to navigate what ministry is, who I'm supposed to be in mm-hmm. ministry, and now pastor's wife, What's this role? So I was transitioning into that. So it was a challenge in the beginning. Now it doesn't bother me. When people are like, oh, that's Pastor Tommy's, you know, a wife. It doesn't bother me because I know who I am. I know who God created me to be. I know what my role is. And I just focus more on that. But it definitely was a challenge because ministry is not for the faint of heart. Yeah. Absolutely not. It's huge.
Yeah. So then I was still the youth pastor as I became the lead pastor for like the first 3 years. So we were still all in with the youth ministry every Thursday night with hundreds of teenagers and young adults coming. And then finally we got somebody to take that role and then was really able to focus on the adults. And by that time we were doing three services on Sundays. So there was a lot of adults at the church by then. I was like, man, yeah. I can't keep doing both. And we had a great team. Mm-hmm. We had about 20 leaders that were part of the youth ministry, but I needed to let that baby go. And so then as we let that go, you were no longer like a youth leader anymore. I was still going for a while, you know, just to kind of help and be around and speak once in a while. But you were like pretty much were like, all right, I'm not in youth ministry. I'm going to focus on other stuff. And then you launched the women's ministry.
Right.
So, and the women's ministry has been very successful. One of the most solid ministries at the church over many years now. You guys just celebrated 15?
16. This is year 16.
So to ladies that are out there that are watching this, that are trying to, you know, launch some kind of ministry in their church that is for women, what's some advice that you would give them? And maybe some of the stuff that you've processed through over the last 16 years.
Loaded question there. Cliche here, right? Like, you really want to seek God. Because, again, it's still ministry. I believe that it's a calling, put it that way. I don't believe it's just a job. It's not a 9-to-5 job. This is a calling. It's ministry, and it's not like you can, you know, punch in, clock out. We're mm-hmm. talking about yeah. souls. At the yeah. end of the day, it's women and their souls. And of course, just a lot of the barriers that we, you know, deal with. But I think for me, it was making sure that I had a team around me. I've always been a team player. And for me, it was important to have people around me that have mm-hmm. the same passion and the same calling to minister and to pour into, you know, women's lives. And I'd say in the last, 16 years, it never gets old because we go through so many different seasons. Yeah. There's always something new. So for me, I just keep it exciting. I try to figure out what are the needs in this season? What are the needs this year? We do different things. We don't just sit around and talk. Like in the beginning, that's what most people thought, right, with women's ministry, sit around together and sing, you know, Kumbaya and cry. And I think it's so much more than that and so many different needs. And especially now you have entrepreneurs, you know, you have business leaders, like there's so much that you can, you know, do. And it's really about empowering women, you know, where they're mm-hmm. at so that they can bloom with where they've been planted. So
what's some of the most, like you said, you're always changing, doing new, exciting things. So what's some of the things you've done post-pandemic in the women's ministry that's been, like, really successful?
So post-pandemic, we've done this twice already. We did the Yacht Starship, which is, like, a dinner cruise here in the Tampa Bay area. So that's a lot of fun. The ladies love it.
But you did it at lunch, and it was a brunch.
Right, that's right. This year was a brunch. Last year was a dinner cruise.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been neat. The ladies love it, right? I had close to 85 ladies, you know, come out for that. So ladies love it. Just a time of fellowship, but also, you know, we have a time of sharing, and I think that's key. I had some, you know, some of the other ladies, you know, share about some of the stuff that we've done throughout the year. So that was one thing. The other thing, same concept, but the Power Brunch has been really effective. I did a women's summit earlier this year in June, so that was like an all-day.
It was called Rebranding
University.
You.
Yep.
Rebranding University, because that's been our theme at Crossover for 2023.
Yeah.
And so talk about some of the things you did at the Rebranding University, what some of the workshops and topics and stuff were.
So, again, I had some guest speakers come out, so that's been big for me the past couple of years is really stepping out of my comfort zone and networking with other women and going to other events as well. But I had Dr. Virgia Jackson. She was here, and mm-hmm. she was our keynote speaker.
Shout out to Dr. V.
Amen. That's right. I'm Sandra Coates. That's where I met her. She was a friend of Dr. Virja, and I had Crystal Mance as well. So it was Rebranding University. We did workshops on rebranding your mental health, rebranding your beauty from the inside out, and rebranding relationships. Those are three key areas that we felt like were specific to the needs of women in this season, like you mentioned, post-pandemic.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So what are you most excited about, like, next for women's ministry? I know Flavor Fest is next. That's the next big thing you guys are doing. But what's, like, a peek, a little glimpse into the future and 2024 and beyond?
So I do have big dreams, right? And we can't stop dreaming. I mean, I would love to continue to create more content for women, free resources for women, which means then that I need more leaders and more people that have that, you know, that calling. So one of my things that I want to do is to create another, it's a creative team, put it that way. It's going to be more of creatives that are creating content so that we can offer more resources for ladies, whether it's online, in person, virtually, just try to offer a lot more content.
That's good. And so where can people follow all the Chosen stuff?
So Chosen is at Chosen813.
All right. So let's move on from, like, the church ministry to, like, even the personal stuff that you've been doing. Because
we're gonna get personal now.
Yeah, we're gonna get personal. I like to get personal with you. Because the title of this actual podcast on the graphic says helping you reach your goals. And so that's something that you've been helping people do all along. I have as well, as leaders, as pastors, right? Mm-hmm. But you actually, in the last couple of years, you know, you've got your counseling degrees and all that stuff. So you've got a lot of training, but you became, on top of that, a certified life coach.
Yes.
And to really help people find what their goals are, what their purpose, what their God-given thing is, and to move towards it. And I remember that journey started when you did it yourself.
Yes.
A couple years ago, because you were here at the church and you just felt like, okay, I feel like there's some new things in this next season that's coming up. God has me to reach more people in different ways, and I'm still here, but there's more, and I got to figure out what that looks like. And you went to a life coach for about a year that kind of helped map out, you know, what your life experience was, what your passions, preferences were, and the roadmap to what God had in the next season. So talk a little bit about that, and then how that morphed into then, like, you're like, I'm going to help other people do this.
Yeah. So first, if I'm going to be honest, it's not like I sought out a life coach. The life coach came to me. So I was at a women's event, and she had a clipboard there, and she said, sign up for a free consultation, free one-hour session. And I didn't want to, right? Because in my mind, again, I'm just like, I already have my degree. I don't really need this, right?
Yeah.
But I was with my friends, and they were like, no, put your name. And I had somebody that was her coach, and she was like, you're not going to regret it. So I was like, okay. So I put my name down, and then I was hoping that she wouldn't call, and she did. She called me within a couple of days. And so I was just like, okay. And I remember telling you, like, I'm going to go, but, you know, I don't really think much of it. Mm-hmm. So I went and came back, and I was like, Tommy, I got to do this. Like, it was unbelievable. In just like 60 minutes, realizing, like, I can't do this on my own. I need a partner there, you know, with me. So that's really how that, you know, started. I will say this, coaching and counseling are two different things.
Yeah.
So I have a counseling background. And so counseling is when you are meeting with someone because their past won't let them move forward, right? There's things from the past that they've dealt with, whether it's trauma, abuse, physically, emotionally, there's stuff from the past and they're still in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So that's more of the counseling therapy part. Coaching, what I realized was there's people right now, they're functioning, right? They are moving through life, but maybe they feel stuck. And they know that they're here, but they want to get there. And so they need help getting there, just like I did. So I was fascinated, to be honest with you, with the coaching piece of it, because I think as been in ministry for so long, you get to a point, and this is really what happened during the pandemic, you kind of get to a point, to be honest with you, that I want to help people that want the help.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for so long. And, you know, you just get burned out sometimes after a while, or you get tired of trying to coach and mentor and give advice and pray for people and encourage people.
And then they don't do anything with it.
Right.
And then they come back to you again. Right. And they're like, hey, I'm going through this. Did you do the stuff we talked about when we met the three, four other times for hours? Well, no.
See, that's the frustrating part of, you know, about ministry. But I got to a point where I realized it wasn't wrong for me to, one, feel that way, and wrong for me to now kind of switch to, I'm going to help those that actually want the help.
Yeah.
That they know, I'm here, I'm trying to get there, or I know that there's more, I'm not sure what that is, and I need help getting there. So I'm loving the coaching. I'm doing one-on-one personal coaching, and also group coaching. I just finished a six-session group this past week, and it's just amazing. I love being a part of people's journey, especially when, like, they're hungry for it, they're taking the steps, and they have more clarity now and just excited about life again. And giving them hope in that way.
So that's awesome. So if you were to coach somebody out there right now and you sat down with them, like, maybe what's some of the first things you would ask them or talk to them about to get started, for them to start thinking, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm trying to figure out where to go.
Yeah. So the good thing with coaching is that really you're listening and asking questions.
So you're interviewing them, almost, like,
pretty much
pulling stuff out of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd be asking you, like, where are you at right now? And where do you want to be in 3 months from now, in a year from now? What are some things that are really important to your life? How often do you get to enjoy those things? Why or why not? What can you do differently to be able to enjoy these things? And so kind of looking at maybe where they're stuck, looking at maybe some negative negative self-talk, right? That we are, what is it? Our self-critic, right? So I'm looking for that. I'm listening to what they're saying to know what questions to ask, and really ask, you know, how badly do you want to change? Like, how committed are you to do this? Because it is a commitment, and you have to want it. You have to want more, and then do the steps to get to more.
That's good. That's awesome. So, With your coaching stuff, what do you feel like is next? Because you just did another certification.
I did.
Yeah. Something you're very excited about.
I am.
She talks to me about this all the time, y'all.
I am. So I got an Enneagram certification, right? And so I want to learn how to incorporate that into my coaching. I'm going to say this. Please don't hit me up with, like, I don't believe in that stuff, or, you know, I haven't done that, right? Because I know there's some controversy about that. I'm going to tell you right now, for me and my house, like, this has been key, and it has been a game changer. So not only understanding each other and our personality types, but even for our daughters, because I had my daughters do the assessment as well. So I did my Enneagram certification, but I really have to get experience, like, you kind of, like, when you get your degree, right? You get your degree, you get a piece of paper, but now you need the experience. So that's kind of where I'm at right now with that. But it's been a huge, you know, game changer. I'm going to start first with my family, because that's where I've utilized it, and it's changed my parenting and how I respond to my girls based on their, you know, personality. And then just understanding my husband even more. Like, we've been married 27 years, best friends. We have a healthy, good, you know, relationship. But there's some things there that, you know, were completely different.
We're different.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe
opposites attract.
I know there's stuff that I do that frustrate you, and vice versa. But when you understand each other's personality and the way that he thinks, it's easier for me to extend grace and compassion and forgiveness. And then I'm like, oh, that's just him, because he's a three on the Enneagram.
So listen, if you don't know what the Enneagram is, and I know a lot of people, even in the urban community, still, like, it's a unknown concept or a new concept. In essence, it's a personality test that you take, and it's numbered. And so, like, kind of just run everybody through the numbers real quick, what they mean, if you know off the top of your head a little bit.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but, like, ones can be perfectionist, which I'm a one.
She's a one.
Right?
And watch out.
And let me just say this, that all the numbers, all the nines, correlate to
there's nine, right?
The nature of God. So ones are perfectionists. Two are, I was going to say loyalists. I think they're more like helpers. They go out of their way to help others. Threes, right here, like threes are tend to be extroverted. They find value in producing, creating
content.
I'm
a content creator.
Right, doing things.
We're creating
being
right
around
now.
Around people. appearance is important, you know, so that's a three. A four is someone who is very sensitive and feels like they can feel everything.
And a four is artistic too, right?
They can actually be very artistic and they want to stand out.
I'm a three that leans a little bit to a four.
A three
that's the artist
four.
Side. That's the artist
would,
side.
Call
you
it.
Have like a wing. So you have a main one and then like a secondary one.
Right. So then you have the five, which fives are more, I'd say, wisdom, right? They research, they, you know, kind of investigate things. Six, I believe, is the loyalist. Seven is enthusiast, I believe. And that's the person that, like, they love to have fun. Everything for them is about having fun and experiencing life for themselves. Eight is a challenger. Right, they like to challenge things and challenge people, and number nine is the peacemaker. They just want to have peace. So, like you said, we are a certain number, and then we have a wing. A wing is either one of the numbers next to you. So, I actually am a one wing two. That's what I realized throughout my certification. So, anyways, I think what's important too is that each number also has a core desire. So for me, a number one, my core desire is actually to be good. And so I'm making decisions based on that core desire. I want things to be good or perfect. And it correlates with God's goodness. I'm always looking and searching at for my heart is for God's goodness upon in my life. And then a core fear is not being good enough. And I struggled with that. All my life. So when you get to know your core desires, your core fears, again, some of your patterns and behaviors, then I'm able to focus on healthier habits and healthier patterns in my life and be aware of the ones that aren't as healthy and maybe toxic, you know, for me, because I can be an unhealthy one or I can be a healthy one.
Yeah, because there's strengths and weaknesses to each one.
Right. Right. So anyways, there's so much more in there to unpack, but it's been very helpful. But I also love the fact to realize how God created each and every one of us with our flaws, with our differences, our strengths and our weaknesses. And he still loves us. Like he knows every detail about us. And there's a reason why you have certain flaws or weaknesses. They were put there for a reason, believe it or not. So it's just, it's been amazing. I love the journey. And
yeah,
I've been
hearing about the Enneagram for several years now, especially through some different podcasts and stuff that I listen to, some different, you know, it's kind of been out there in the general public business world, all that kind of stuff for a little minute. I know in the urban community, it's been slower for it to catch on. I ask people about it sometimes. They're like, what's that? You know, but there's lots of personality tests out there. Like we've done Strength Finders. With our staff many times over the years. We did it with leaders in our church. If you're not familiar with Strength Finders, it's another great tool. You know, they got Myers-Briggs. They got all these different things. And it's important to know what your personality type is and what others are that are working around you. And one of the things is that a lot of times we can always want to focus on our weaknesses. Oh, I got to get better at this one area. And what I've learned is I've done a lot of these personality tests, especially Strength Finders. Mm-hmm. It would teach you, don't always focus on your weaknesses, but move in your strengths and build on that. And so if I'm not so much wired to do like administrative stuff, that's okay.
Right.
Do the stuff I'm wired for and then find somebody on your team that likes to do that stuff and brings them life and get them to do it. So then they're soaring in what they love to do. You're soaring now and have more time to do the things that God has really created you to do. And so even with like the Enneagram, to be able to find, you know, the personality, we want people to function in their sweet spot
at
the end of the day. And so my wife loves me so much that she bought me a 60-day devotional that was specifically for threes. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that thing, and it was eye-opening, because a lot of it showed some things that I can be really good at, and I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yep, that's how I am, that's how I think, all right, yeah, okay, awesome, yeah, that's a superpower I have. But then there was also stuff in there that was warning when I'm unhealthy, there's those things about my personality.
It's the stuff that you don't talk about.
Yeah, that it can start to go sideways a little bit. And it was like, ooh, it was like checking me a little bit. Yeah. Oh, do I do that? Do I sound like that? Do mm-hmm. I say that? Do I think like that too much sometimes? Ooh, I gotta be careful about that. I gotta keep that in check. Because obviously any of us, when we get unbalanced, we can go sideways right. a little bit. And I know that. I live with somebody that's amazing a lot of the times, but sometimes
thank
like,
you.
Whoa.
Oh, I know. I know.
But you know what? The longer you are married, if you're in a healthy, balanced, relationship with God and with each other, it does get sweeter.
It does.
It does get sweeter. It does get better. So 27 years together, and we mm-hmm. just had a dateversary recently. Our dateversary was 31
years Woo! Of dating.
I know some of y'all are like, wait a minute, how old are you guys? Like,
oh, here we go.
Older than you think. Anyways, so what's been some of the things? Let's talk about marriage. We can kind of land the plane with that, talk about that for a few minutes, because, you know, most people don't see us talking together on a podcast mm-hmm. all the time. We did do the message together on Sunday.
We did.
That was great. We tag team together sometimes. But if people would say, Lucy, what is your secret for still being married 27 years and that you're actually happy? Because we all know some people that are still together, but they're just together because of the kids, or because it's financially, it's more viable, or they just, you know, they just don't know what else they would do, but they're miserable at the end of the day. And so we don't want anybody to be married a long time and be miserable a long time.
That's
horrible. We want you to be married and there to be joy in your relationship. So what's been some of the secrets for you to have joy in our relationship and have peace and all that good stuff?
Well, I'd say the good thing is, one, that Tommy and I both, we learn from other people's mistakes. Like, we're pretty observant, and we've had friends and, you know, other couples that we've met with, and we see some of the unhealthiness in there, and we're like, okay, we don't want that, you know, for us. So that's one thing that I'd say that we're both, you know, good at. I think the second thing is, I mean, again, it's been 27 years married, but we actually went through premarital counseling. And to this day, I still remember the advice that was given to us. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to advice, and some people who don't take the advice, okay, I'm a little sour about that. But so some of the advice was, don't hit below the belt. Remember that, mm-hmm. right? So when we do have an argument or a fight, which again is like, it doesn't happen like it used to,
No, it's like once every year,
right?
Now or two, you know.
And it's
back in the day, it was like every week in the first couple of years. Like, we're still navigating, getting to know each other, working through the personalities.
A lot of that was me. I'll be honest with you.
This is on video. Did you guys hear that?
It is
right there. This is on video. I'm easy.
I didn't say all of it.
I'm easy to get along with.
I say all of it.
Okay.
Okay. So don't get too excited there.
I'm going to take that clip right there, put it on social media. Anyways, go ahead.
Wow, okay. So, but I was just going to say, like, taking on advice like that. So there was, you know, there's no name calling. Now, really, we disagree on stuff. We don't have to yell at each other. We don't, you know, argue like that, or, you know.
We don't disagree on that much. It's not like a big mountain of stuff.
No, but like when you know, turn off the lights when I'm still in the kitchen, or, you know, just things like that. Leaving your shoes all over the floor, right? Just stuff like that. But, you know, I think a lot of it is, one,
it's got to be the shoes.
We're married, but we never stop being friends. And I think that's huge in a relationship, is that we remained friends. We're still friends, you know, best friends. We dated each other. We still went out on dates before we had kids, when we had kids, and even, you know, now it's gotten mm-hmm. easier, right? Because our kids are older.
They're big. They can stay at home alone. They got their own car. They can, you know, go and do what they need to do. We don't have to be Uber drivers anymore.
Right. So for me, I'd say that that's been key, is that we don't disrespect each other. I'm mm-hmm. going to say this as a woman was I understood my role as, yes, we're equal, but I'm his helpmate and I'm here to support him. And it's never been a competition. It's never been me feeling inferior. It's always been we're doing this together mm-hmm. as a team. You've always been supportive of me as a person and me growing as well, so that's helped. So it's always been that from beginning. We're on the same side. We're yeah. not on opposing sides. We're actually yeah. on the same side. God is the one that brought us together. God has us in ministry together, and so we've been doing things together like that mm-hmm. Because we know that, you know, we have a creator and he's the one that called us to this. So I honor my husband and I honor the role that he's in and I, you know, respect him. Is it challenging at times? Because you said in the beginning, I'm not just married to a pastor, I'm also married to an artist.
Yes. So talk about that a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
Artists, we can be challenging at times. We can be all over the place. Dreamers.
Okay. So anyways. Confession here.
Yeah.
You just said that, right?
Yeah.
You can be a handful. So
it can be at times.
You know, listen, as an artist, he's, you know, he always has ideas. His mind is going a million miles an hour, and I have to put up with that, right? I've got to have grace.
You
got to
admit it's fun sometimes.
Sometimes it's fun, and other times I'm like, please, like, can you just come back to reality? Like, this is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
So there's that element, and there's also the element, like.
She balances me out, y'all.
I try to. But I think there's also that element of when you are in your creative mode, sometimes that lasts for a season. So he mm-hmm. was working on his book for months. That's his whole year, right? How long did it?
Yeah, it was pretty much from January till now. I'm still finishing up the video content. It's pretty much done now, but it's been a project.
Right. Yeah. So just imagine, because he would come home from work and then he goes straight into his man cave and then he's just working on his book. Now
my office, not a man cave with a big screen where I got a couch
no,
and I'm
not that.
Playing
it's
video
books.
Games. No, this is like this I'm is going back to work.
Maybe we should call it production suite or something like that.
Yeah, it's not a man cave.
Right, but
man caves are much cooler.
It was like it was intense. So this past year, yeah. I've allowed him because I know that there's going to be fruit that's going to come out, you know, from this. And yeah. I also know that this is his passion. He loves creating content. He loves writing.
I'm a three.
Right. So for me, it was like, okay, for this season, I really don't have my husband 100%, put it that way.
I'm coming
so
back, though.
You better come
back. Because I'm done now. Flavor Fest is over next week, and everything's created, and then
yeah,
boom.
We've got some vacations lined up,
yeah,
and some, you know, time away. So there's that rhythm, right? And there's
yeah,
that's how we operate and that's how we work. It's for a season, so I'm not mad at him for it because I know that this season is going to come to an end. It's just the season that we're in, and I'm not going to take that away from him because this is his gift, this is his passion, and he loves doing it. But every once in a while, right, I'm be honest, I'm like, I need you. Like, I need you now, not next week, not like, okay, can you block out some time for me? Mm-hmm. Like, I need you now. And so that's I think, the challenge when it comes to the artist part and, of course, the traveling as well. I mean, you do a lot of traveling. So I have people that ask me all the time, like, how do you do it? Like, your husband, you know, being gone and so forth. And so I don't mind it as long as it's short trips. The short
yeah.
trips.
Yeah, and I try to only be gone maybe, you know, 3 nights a month, maybe yeah. five nights a month at the most. And generally, those are not even together. It's like one night here and then 2 nights over there, or one night. Like, it's quick trips where I'll go and do ministry in and out, and I try to, you know, be home as much as I can to be with my family, my girls, and just, you know, to be still plugged in at the church. But a lot of times when I travel, I get a lot of work done.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. So it's not like I'm going on a vacation. I mean, I get fueled by it, actually. I'm a little weird. Not if I do it too much, but if I do it once or twice a month, and it fuels me, gives me energy, and I always catch up with all my emails on the plane.
Yep, you do.
Because I never get the Wi-Fi package, and so there's no distractions, and I'm just tackling my email.
Clean. You're a good napper on the plane.
And
too.
Then I take a nap. Absolutely. Gotta, it's just the plane. It's just, sound just makes me feel like I'm in my mother's womb. Anyways, but I think one of the big things with us too is we've found a good rhythm these last, like, I'd say, like, you know, 15 plus years. First 10 years, we were still figuring it out. It wasn't terrible, but it was ups and downs. We were trying to figure it out. We were young. But once you find that rhythm, and I think one of the biggest things I'll say too is there's always been trust. And trust has never been broken in the sense of, like, I felt like, wait a minute, you're always lying to me now. Or you're talking to some guy, or I'm, you know, stepping out and with some girl, or you caught me looking at porn or stuff. There's never been any of those major things. And not saying, like, I know a lot of people watching this, maybe you've fallen in some of those areas and trust has been broken. It can absolutely be rebuilt. Absolutely. But it takes time. But at the same time, I think that's been one of the things that's helped us be so successful and find a good rhythm is because we've always kept that trust factor. There hasn't been, you know, any big, like, major hiccup to be like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like I don't even know who you are right now. Or we've never hid stuff from each other. And that is so important. And like, our bank account is together.
We have a joint
several account.
Joint accounts.
Yeah. And I, you know, we do have some business stuff that we have. We have a couple of businesses that we have, but
is mine. And what's mine is mine.
It's not like, hey, like, we counsel so many couples over the years that'll be like, yeah, you know, she takes care of that bill, I do this bill, and, you know, but she's like 3 months behind on that bill, and she's like borrowed money from me and didn't pay it back.
That's crazy.
I'm like, hold up, that's your wife.
Right.
And then, you know, she went shopping and she still owes me $2,000, and she came back with all this new stuff. And I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
The two shall become one. That even is the bank accounts become one, and everything, and we share everything. What's mine is mine. What's mine is hers.
I said it earlier.
Yeah.
I was kidding.
She said it. Yeah. I always joke with her and say, yeah, what's mine is yours and what's yours is yours. Oh, you know, we tease each other. But seriously, you have to get to that point to where you look at it and this is a joint partnership.
Right.
You're on the same team. Mm-hmm. And you got to plan vision and goals that are ahead of your life that are, you know, for forever and then for legacy of what you want to leave someday when you pass, like, what are the things you want to leave behind? And we want to leave a legacy for our kids. We want to create, you know, generational wealth and, you know, for our kids' kids and all that stuff. Like, the Bible even talks about that they can be secure, they can be blessed, they can be taken care of. There's a roadmap, obviously, spiritually of that, you know, that inheritance. But then there's also some things that we can leave them resources. Because life is challenging and it's hard. Yes. And so, you know, our parents did the best they could and our grandparents, you know, were from other countries for us, you know, and our parents were here in this country, did the best they could. And now, like, we're trying to continue to take it up to the next level by God's grace, by his help, and to just set our kids up to win. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say to the Flavor Fest family, Lucy Colonin?
Listen, we're excited to have you with us next week. If you're still on the fence, let it be like, you know how sometimes you're on the fence about doing something or going somewhere, and you're just like, oh, I'm not sure. But then you do it, and it's worth it, and you're like, wow, I needed that, and I didn't realize I needed that. Let Flavor Fest be that for you next week. You know, every year we pour our heart, our soul, our energy, everything into it. We pray for everybody that's going to be there beforehand. And so I know that if you show up, God's going to show up for you as well.
Yeah. You show up, you're going to make it even better. It's a big family reunion, and there's people you're going to see that you probably know. And then there's a bunch of people that you're going to meet, connect with, and build lifelong relationships. And that's really one of the key important things that Flavor Fest is. There's so much great networking and partnership that comes out of it, collaboration.
Feels like a family reunion.
Yeah, and it's like there's nowhere else really in the world that's quite like this, where you have all these urban ministry leaders from around the country, from all kinds of different spaces coming together. So many artists from all different kinds of spaces coming together. So many entrepreneurs, and of course, a lot of those things, they all morph together because I'm all three of those things, ministry, leader, artist, and entrepreneur. And there's so many like-minded people. I know a lot of times when we go to conferences and even denominational things that some of you might be involved in, sometimes you have to feel like you're explaining over and over again what you do, and people are still like, what is that? What is that like? Mm-hmm. You know, but I've heard so many people say when they come to Flavor Fest, they don't have to like explain it. Everybody gets it, mm-hmm. and everybody is doing some similar work, and we can learn from each other. And there's so many great relationships and partnerships and ministry collaborations that have happened as a result of Flavor Fest with churches and pastors and leaders, as well as artists getting signed. Mm-hmm. There was an artist that got signed last year that was just doing a 5-minute set as an indie artist, and one of the major labels was here and signed him. And they still haven't announced who that is, so we can't tell you yet. We can't tell you yet. Maybe they're going to announce it at Flavor Fest. We'll see. But there's been a lot of cool stories over the years, and we love that because one of my gifts is being a connector. My wife is a connector as well. And we want to connect you to others and connect you to information to help you guys win in your marriage, in your ministry, with the things that you're doing. We want the best for you. So Lucy, tell everybody where they personally can find you, because we talked about Chosen, mm-hmm. but how can they find Lucy K?
Really easy, LucyK813. On Facebook and on Instagram.
And you have a website.
I do.
That is LucyK.me,
M-E, LucyK.me.
So if you want to learn anything about her life coaching or all that stuff, the groups that she has, she just had an amazing group with a bunch of ladies that were in it for 6 weeks and walked them through some great curriculum. So LucyK.me, and I am UrbanD813 as well. So, hey, guys, we're super excited to see many of you coming up next week at Flavor Fest 2023 right here in Tampa. And again, if you didn't catch the very beginning of the podcast, I shared that there is going to be a live stream opportunity. You can purchase the live stream for a very affordable price. It's not that much for you to tap in if you can't come in person. I realize like it's expensive to travel and inflation is hitting a lot of people. So maybe you can't make it this year. Or your schedule's too crazy, but you can still tap in on the live stream. You could do the whole conference, or you could just do the concerts or one of the concert nights. There's several different options on the website, flavorfest.org. So we love you guys, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Tampa, Florida, or on the live stream. Let's go.
That's right. Take care.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.